Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this week again with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion today from her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be here.
It is great to be here, and we're talking about some things this week that...
Blog Talk Radio.
Oops, there they are again. How'd that happen?
They're very excited about the show, too.
That, yeah, I guess so. Sorry about that technological glitch there. But we're talking about a couple of things that are very much in our everyday, day-to-day kind of mentality, and that's training and customer satisfaction. Those are two things in our organization that we spend a lot of time around and put a lot of effort into. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation today. But to start things off, you know, we haven't really defined what an Omega leader is for a little while. We've not been doing that. So why don't you share with our audience what we mean when we say an Omega leader?
An Omega leader is someone who combines the best of the Alpha style of management, which is authoritative, my way or the highway type of management, and the beta type of management, which is more collaborative. So those are typically the masculine alpha, female beta, even though they're really in the workplace, not gender specific. And Jesus used both of those. So, but he always was connected to his higher power. So when you're an Omega leader, you can use the alpha sometimes, you can use the beta sometimes, but always you submit yourself to the higher authority.
Great reminder of that. And this first topic today in our 15-minute show, that Jesus used training as a reward. Talk to us about how Jesus did that and what that looked like with his team.
Well, it was amazing to me when I looked through scriptures and looked at his interactions. He was always promising new training. Or new information. I have things to tell you that I haven't, that you're not ready to learn yet.
Mm-hmm.
I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to teach you a new industry. And he talked about heaven as being a place of constant discovery, not only celebration, but of discovery. I have worlds to know that you know not of.
Mm.
So people were never bored in Jesus' presence. And I think that is the hallmark of a great leader, that you give cross-functional training to your team members and you keep them stimulated. You know, what we see, what studies show, is that the brain is really a puzzle-solving mechanism. And that's what keeps it alive and functioning.
Wow.
And so when we stop solving puzzles or when we stop presenting new challenges, you're going to end up with bored workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go to the dog park every afternoon with little Rue, and I watch people with the border collies and the standard poodles, and I know that they have chosen, I hope they know that they have chosen a breed that needs a lot of stimulation, because those dogs get bored very easily.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So as I'm listening to you talk about this, how Jesus used cross-functional training with his team, what are the ways that we are that you typically see in organizations or with teams how training's being done?
Well, typically we end up siloing people, and then they meet with other people who become silos within a structure. And I'm reading a great book right now called Blue Ocean Strategy.
Mm.
And that's been challenging my thinking about things. And also, I feel like I'm in line with a lot about what they talk, being a wind. You know, the blue ocean always looks better than the current paddock. But what they're saying there is that in many organizations, the structure determines the strategy. In other words, if something new is going to happen, it has to come out of marketing. But in blue ocean companies, the strategy then determines the structure. This is where we're going. Now what kind of departments and systems will we need to make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost reverse engineering. And I think that, you know, Jesus did that with his miracles, and he was constantly challenging us to say, you know what, it looks like this, but it's really this. So one of my chapters, I know I talked about he mastered the metaphor. This is like this,
right.
Or this is a simile, or something is similar to something else. Constantly teaching us to make those cognitive quantum leaps in our thinking so that we don't just have tunnel vision in our approach to problem solving in the workplace.
Wow. When you wrote this book, Teach Your Team to Fish, obviously you'd already written Jesus CEO and The Paths and Blue Jeans and maybe another one or two. Something's beeping here and I don't know where it is. Distracting me. The essence of how you take this team, these 12 that Jesus had, and you begin to teach us how, in particular this book, Teach Your Team to Fish, how to release people, right? We're in the release section. And so how do you release folks? One way, I think, in this chapter you're talking about is through training. And so training provides an opportunity to equip, enhance or extend the giftedness of a team mate, a leader, a manager, CEO. And so as we hold that concept of training inside our organization, you know, we have programs where, you know, we offer people to get trained and take that skill and enhance something that they're doing in another organization or become a coach and work with teams or companies. What are some ways that not just our organization but other organizations can benefit from training? I mean, why send 3 or 4 people to get trained in the most current form of social media or technology? Or, you know, why do that? Why separate these people into silos? And how can we come together? What in this chapter of providing training is, you know, makes it doable for organizations?
Well, I think the Omega leader needs to realize that it is her or his priority to keep setting up jumps for the team, that they are to be learning, that it has to be part of the culture of the organization, that we do not sit still, we do not just become part of cubicles. You know, the old style of leadership years ago was factories, you get people and you systematize
right.
it and you get them to do the same thing over and over and over and over. Whereas these new companies that are coming on board and that are generating billions of dollars in interest, like Pinterest and Facebook and Google, they didn't even exist, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, some of them. And yet they sat around and they thought of ideas. And it's interesting, with all of these companies, they didn't even begin to think about how to monetize the ideas for about the first 3 years.
Right.
They were just having fun, considering possibilities, turning over possibilities. And this is really the way I think the world is designed. And with children, the capacity to learn is so pronounced. And the brain, between the ages of, I think, 6 months and 3 or 4 or 5 years old, they can learn multiple languages. They're constantly exploring. We're designed to absorb and explore information. And if we don't, we're going to be bored and have a boring team.
Yeah, so ultimately, Jesus knew that about our nature.
Right.
And so created this this way to reward his team of keeping them fresh, keeping them moving, keeping them on their toes, and providing ways to do that. Let's talk about this this other concept, and this makes it the last chapter of this book, and we'll be moving on to, I believe, Jesus Life Coach, talking about that in the next few weeks. But this last chapter of customer satisfaction, wow, are we living in an age and a day where that has been overlooked, or has it been enhanced by the way we're doing business these days?
Well, I think that the chapter title is He Shared Responsibility for Customer Satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, when he asked the question, Philip, how shall we feed these people? He was really making the church a cooperative industry, if
right.
you will. And when you look at the model of the you know, the preacher up front and all the people sitting there, you know, listening to in their boxes to a person on a taller box. I mean, that is not the image necessarily, I believe, that Jesus wanted for the church, that we're all to be cooperative and be the hands and feet of him. And so I think what happens, and I'm familiar with some church challenges now, where you have a group of people, they do not want the church to grow. They're angry at the pastor because he doesn't spend enough time with them, when really he's also trying to get out there and grow. And so what I see in the meeting I was in, and this poor pastor, is these people, they are frustrated with their own spiritual expression, and they expect him to do it for them. And so they have this sense of entitlement about what the church is supposed to do for them or the pastor is supposed to do for them. And I think sometimes as Christians, we do that too, what the Lord is supposed to do for us.
Right.
But to turn that around, how can we be out in the field with Jesus? Are you running with me, Jesus? That was a book title many years ago that captured my heart. You know, are you running with me? Are we out doing something, having, you know, the picture of him with his head flung back, laughing with the sea spray, you know, and the fishermen. I mean, I just love that image of we're all in this together, and that's really what he taught. So when people would ask him a question, he didn't always answer. Sometimes he returned a question.
Sure.
So
right.
Very much the Socratic method of, now let's think about this together. Come, let us reason together. But a lot of people don't want that. They don't want that interactive relationship with God. They want passive feeding, like the, you know, the baby bird in the nest. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And that really is also the Venus flytrap. Cannibal plant of the kingdom, you know, feed me, feed me, feed me. And that just gets exhausting to be around, I'm sure.
Right. You have a great story example in here of in this chapter of the Good Samaritan doing just what you've described, taking responsibility, a shared responsibility for an action, you know, that everybody that passed that Samaritan probably should have taken but did not for whatever the reasons were. You know, that's a powerful image of something we heard a few weeks ago at the World Leaders Conference about servant leaders. You know, are we moving into a society and a business model where you see more of that, where people are, like at Nordstrom's, taking responsibility for the customer whether they're in your department or not, or helping somebody find something they're looking for in your store? Are we moving there towards that servant mindset? Do you see that as you're out coaching and consulting?
Well, I think the internet is a neutral but powerful tool that is opening up all sorts of possibilities for service. I was reading just yesterday about the Facebook IPO, and they're basing its value on how many people use it. And they're saying the average, if you are on Facebook, you're worth about $50 to the company based on
it's
how
crazy,
they're valuing the company. And so Facebook has become so popular because they serve people in connecting one another. And so companies that are going to thrive are going to serve somehow, finding out what customers need and giving it to them.
Wow. Well, it's a great image, and I think also practice and characteristic of organizations that have servant leader mindset at the helm is to share responsibility, whether, you know, for a customer, whether it's my turn or not my turn, or whether it's my department or not my department. I think that is something that Teach Your Team to Fish really, really, you know, you ended this chapter with, I think, this book, I'm sorry, with this great chapter of, you know, keeping in mind that we're all here to serve.
Right.
You know, that's really what makes a difference in companies, in families, in churches, in organizations is the service that we provide to folks as they come through our doors.
Right. It's a beautiful image of Christ coming not to be served, but to serve. And I think if we remind ourselves of that on a daily basis, the world will be a better place.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've got 10 seconds, as you have just heard, and so we'll wrap up this week. Thank you, Lori Beth, for sharing your insights once again with us on on this topic of Omega Leadership, and particularly this book, Teach Your Team to Fish. I think it's one of your greatest works, and thank you so much for writing it and for bringing it to the table for us to talk about.
Thank you, Shelley, for your passion around the project.
We'll see you next week. Thank you, everyone.